the more that we put the art that comes through us, through God, out into the world, the more you will be protected. And then just know that the lessons that are there were literally there for you. Welcome to the Earn Your Happy podcast. I'm Lori Harder, founder of The Bliss Project, three-time fitness world champion, fitness expert, and cover model turned self-love junkie, lifestyle entrepreneur, and author. Each week, I'll bring you a guest or a thought that will help you bust through your fears, connect to your soul, and get focused and clear so you can elevate your life, business, and relationships. We don't wait until we're ready for someone to tell us we're good enough. We take what we want and we anoint ourselves. Get ready to earn, own, and unapologetically rock your happiness every single day. Are you with me? Here we go. Evans, welcome back to another episode of Questionably Awesome, where you are my co-host and we answer all of our audience's questions. And it's called Questionably Awesome because you may question if this is awesome, but if when you listen longer, you'll realize that it is the humor and strangeness that you have been missing in your life. Now,
absolutely.
Evans, tell me what type of person should be listening to this and what type of person should just shut this right down. Get out of here.
All right. If you've got a funny bone, then you need to listen to this. But if you're, I think I have mascara in my eyeballs. If you are need like a serious talk and you're not laughing today, then maybe don't listen to us today.
Yeah. Go to an interview or maybe go to a quickie. I don't know. I like to consider myself funny on some of those too, but actually I'm not.
I love your quickies.
Well, thank you. I never know what's coming out on those. It kind of just goes like, you know, by the week. And a couple of the things we were talking about, and I actually think it's like so important for people to hear, is that we were discussing how overall we like think that we're happy people, but we really struggle with mood every week. Like when we get on here, it's like, yes. How you feeling? Like it's a check-in. And it's like, you know, I'm struggling. Like I'm kind of feeling blue this week, but things are good, but that's just how I'm feeling. And I know for you, it's pretty weather dependent on, you know, what's going on in the weather there, because it's pretty gloomy for a long period of time. For me, it's like kind of dependent on if I don't have any space in my schedule, I get a little bit blue. I feel, and it's interesting to like learn those things about yourself. The older that you get, you're like, oh, I know I'm going to start feeling this way if I don't give myself a little space. So what do you notice about it? And how do you get out of it? Because I know that so many people listening to this, like they actually listen because they feel that way.
Oh, that makes me feel so much better to know that I'm not the only one that struggles. This morning, I literally, before our podcast, I smiled. Like I stared at my computer and smiled.
For real. I have done
that
too.
I swear.
It is hard to feel sad or negative when your face is smiling like a freak. Like it should be like
it really is.
We should almost force ourselves to try to smile once in a while, like while we're working out or while we're getting ready. It does. It floods your body. It actually, it triggers something in your brain and it does change the chemicals that are getting flooded into your body. Like you feel it. Like right now, my eyebrows are real wide. I can do that because I haven't had Botox in a long time. My eyebrows are real up and I've got a big smile and I feel better.
Me too. It really does work. And also buying flowers from the grocery store.
Proven to work.
Put them by your nightstand. Carry them around with you like you just won a pageant. It helps.
Oh my God. Like a baby, like cradled like a baby and walk around your house and just be like, you're welcome, everyone. And just kind of look.
And wave.
Yeah. And make sure you curl your hair so that the ends of the hair is like really curly. Just like the ends. Like very, very thick and bob-like. Remember the 80s? Like you just wanted to curl the end. Like it was just like make it curlier and bigger on the bottom.
And hot rollers. Did you ever use hot rollers?
Did I ever use hot rollers? I would go to friends' sleepovers with my hot rollers. And I would like get ready and put my makeup on with my hot rollers in. Oh yeah. I mean.
I loved hot rollers.
They were literally
the best. I gotta try those again.
I don't know. Because now what's in is kind of leaving the ends out a little bit. Like the thing about hot rollers is it makes those froofy ends. Those poof balls.
Total froof.
Yeah. They need to come up. I just thought of an invention where the hot roller clips. So picture hair and the hot roller like clips with the ends out. And then you almost start like curling from there. Like maybe the ends come out of the skinny end. Whoever there's a billion-dollar idea for you. Hot roll. Well, probably not because nobody uses hot rollers anymore. You might end up losing money, actually. So maybe don't do that. People are like, well, what about a curling iron? That works just as great. It does, but there's just something about hot rollers that bring you back, you know?
I know, the little things, the clip of man. I love the whole experience.
Yeah, it's really nice. Sometimes, so this morning also gerbils came up. Just, I don't know why, we were talking about our brains. And for some reason, we've been mentioning gerbils a lot. Yep. So Evans decided to research what the spirit animal of gerbils meant for us. And we think it's really fitting.
Gerbils represent aspects of life that are small comforts.
And I feel like what I'm doing is trying to cling to small comforts because I'm so uncomfortable in fear all the time that that's why these are coming up. It's like I'm just clinging to my inner gerbils. And I it's almost like I need to overcome it.
Me too. I feel like we're carrying around a lot of gerbils in our pockets.
We are.
Trying to let them go.
Have you ever tried to get stuff done with like 47 gerbils in each pocket? It's a circus.
It's too much.
And that's how my brain feels.
You have to let your gerbils go.
You do. And you have to be like, look, this is just a time in your life where you're not going to have 47 comforts in your life. You might get to keep one, but it's probably not even like, it's just not good. Like PETA is going to call if you have too many comforts, you know?
Yeah. Too many comforts. Like that's when you're in a bad spot.
You are. That's when you think you're comfortable and when your life is miserable. That's when you're really battling with mood and your higher self for sure. Because it's funny, the more comfortable you are, the more your higher self is like, time to fight.
So true.
Time to box. Let's do it. You haven't been practicing? I have. And she just beats the shit out of your face pretty much.
That's literally how
it feels when you don't listen to your higher self. Mm-hmm. Not even your It's more like your brain.
Yeah. Yeah. What's your quote this week?
Yeah. Thanks for changing that subject real quick. Didn't feel like it was going anywhere. Okay. I've got two. One is from T.F. Hodge. Don't know who this person is. Did not do a background check, but they did say, to conquer frustration, one must remain intensely focused on the outcome, not the obstacle. And I do think it goes along just with the idea that we consistently say on here, and that is about like, what are you actually focusing on? And if you focused on what you wanted instead of what you were afraid of, your life would drastically change. Like catch yourself. Like there is a moment where, you know, there's moments every single day where your brain is like, but this is how I feel. And this is what I'm afraid of. And this is what I don't want to happen. Okay. What do you want to happen? What could this look like? Have you pictured the people who are on the receiving end as being like joyful and happy about, you know, getting whatever it is that you're putting out into the world? And that's what I need to focus on more. Like when Light Pink goes out, just really focusing on how happy they're going to be, how excited they're going to be to have that experience. And like for you, how excited they're going to be to like read the email and feel connected and all of those things.
So true. I don't know why it's so much easier to dwell on the negative.
Because we're wired that way. We're not wired to like grow and, you know, go into the wild. We are wired to stay safe from predators. And now our predators are different. Our predators are now like being online. Our predators are like people in our life. Like our predators are judgment. But just like take those words that you're so afraid of and slap them on like a giant cougar trying to eat you. And that's literally like how it was.
Be like, I love your visuals. Judgment. And then just take your little gerbil out of your pocket and give it a little pet.
Yeah.
And you'll say, I'll be fine. I got this.
I'll be fine. I'm petting my gerbil. Get away, cougar judgment. That's what I love the most about this is just how many brain cells we can kill for people.
You know? I know. No, they don't have any left at this point.
Well, if they do, I'm going to attack that one at the end of this. You know, let's go for it. What do you got? Tell me your quote.
Okay. I kind of just lost it. So I'm just going to go to one random one from Marianne Williamson. There is nothing enlightened about shrinking so that people won't feel insecure around you. We are all meant to shine as children do.
I love that quote. And I have a question for you.
Okay.
Do you think that if you showed up fully Evans, like the Evans that you know you have been since you were a little girl, or the Evans that you like get those glimpses of where you're like, damn, I could be like Ellen DeGeneres. Do you think Are you afraid of what people would say?
Oh, yeah.
And who is
that's
that?
That's like my worst fear.
Who is that, Evans? Who's Big Care Evans?
More, Big Evans is more carefree. But why why is that we're so scared about what people think? Like, no one cares. No one really cares.
I don't know if you've had enough practice yet putting yourself out there. I know I'm scared, but I'm less scared because I think it's happened. Like, I've had those moments that really suck. But you have enough girlfriends and Adam and your mom that you would be just fine. Like, it would suck for like a day, maybe 2 days. And then you start to realize like, oh, putting yourself out there, actually, there's like such a reward that that little sucky part doesn't matter. And I do think we call in what we need. So the other day I put some stuff out that I was like worried about. And of course I got the one comment I was worried about. And I was like, oh, like, here's the thing though. Before I put it out, I knew I was putting this particular thing out because I was trying to show up more as the real me. And also when you do that, you're like, oh God, but what are people going to think? I'm going to let their expectation down of what they think I am. And, you know, right after I did it, like the day after, of course, I went on my phone in the morning, which I should not be doing. I'm kind of in a bad habit right now that has to break.
Me too.
Oh, it's, I don't know how I got into it. I think it's like the last couple of weeks I need to break it. So you and I'll have to hold each other accountable.
Yes.
So with that said, I woke up to this comment that I was like, oh, I literally imagined this. Like, I literally pictured it. And when we picture what's going to happen, we know it's like a prayer for it happening. It's like asking for it to happen. And so I was like, wait, this isn't bad. I actually called this in so I could experience my worst fear and then I could just get over it. So now it doesn't have to be my worst fear anymore. So when you picture it that way, like, okay, you know what? I will probably call it in so I can experience it and know it's not going to take me down. So I just, that's how I look at things now. Like, oh, I called this in for me. Awesome. How do we work through it? Cool. Now I'm not afraid of it, you know?
Yeah. I love that. That's huge.
So if and when it happens to you, give me a call, shoot me a text. For real. We'll jump on the phone. We'll cry. We'll call the person a total a-hole. And then we'll say, God bless and release them and send them love, you know? And
love
like,
and
how
light.
Can you love your enemy? Because if you can't love your enemy, you're not going to be able to love anything or anyone else. It just takes a while to get there. And I find that swearing helps.
I totally agree. And I think it's a weird, like there's a weird climate out there right now where people get canceled so easily.
Yeah.
And I think a lot of people, like for me, I get scared of like, what if I say the wrong thing or do something bad? And everyone's like, that's terrible. I don't know. I feel like we just got to get past that.
But everybody has come back from it. Do you know what I'm saying? Like even the people who were quote unquote canceled, like they're going to be okay. And they may have called that in. Maybe it was for them, you know? And and as bad as that sounds, like I definitely had a really rough experience around my book and I wouldn't have wished it on my worst enemy. And at the same time, it was like, okay, like you just come, you come back from it. You say what you take your time to decide what your reaction is going to be. And you really think on it. You don't, that's the thing. You don't react right away. You give yourself time to respond. You know, I truly believe that you, like God is good. He's not going to let a human cancel your life. Like you can come back from anything. And I think that the more that we put the art that comes through us through God out into the world, the more you will be protected. And then just know that the lessons that are there, we're literally there for you. And I just, you know, I think that's the only thing that keeps me from showing up all of the time is like, I really believe that to my core. Like, I think faith is when you believe, when you hold that belief. So I think for you, like, just remember, like, you'll never, if you hold that faith that you'll get through it and you'll be protected and you're protected by something bigger. The fear is that we have to do it alone and we're just not doing it alone. Yeah. So I think when you tap into that, that's when you're like, okay, I know that no matter what happens, it's going to be okay. It's like for the greater good and it's going to grow me and it's going to like reveal something to you on the other side. So it's not fun. I mean, nobody's like getting in line for spankings, you know, unless it's your birthday and you're at a strip club. Could be fun if that's your thing. That's totally fine. But I've never been like, ooh, we're getting this shit spanked out of us over there. Sign me up.
You're dropping some good truth bombs this morning.
You know, I don't know what, I don't know about that, but it's just, the reason why I like get off on tangents is because it hits a nerve with me and it's for me. Like, I essentially just coached myself because I'm always afraid. I am like always so afraid I'm going to say the wrong thing. And oh my God, I'm so responsible for people now and for their things. And like there is required trust that happens when you do big things, when you live into your higher self. And, you know, I think it's just like remembering that your higher self speaks your truth and speaks the actions you should be taking. And then your stupid lower self, who is going to make you miserable, like we talked about last week, is going to come in and try to, you know, they're the ones working out all day. Like we need to make sure our higher selves are the ones working out, because our lower selves come in and they're like, yeah, I've been in the boxing ring. They like know how to take your higher self down real fast.
They so do.
And it's because we're not giving enough attention to our higher self. We're like, you stay here and get a nice massage, like the, what's that? Wagyu beef. And what happens is Wagyu beef gets eaten. We need to get that beef in the ring. We need to send that beef to the gym. That's the best beef. Anyway.
Do you want a review of the week?
Please. God, save me.
Oh my God. This is from Motivation Nation.
Motivation Nation is about to just make our day.
Okay. First of all, the title is Magical Little Nuggets.
New thing they're serving at McDonald's. I like that. If McDonald's was magical.
She says, Lori and Evans drop magical little nuggets of wisdom in their questionably awesome episodes, but don't get it twisted. They don't take themselves too seriously. Literally, this is my favorite dose of humor, inspiration, and just pure ridiculousness every week. These gals are my kind of people. Mara Kassler.
Oh my God. Mara?
Mara? Or is it Mara?
I don't know. I kind of like, see ya tomorrow. Like, that's fine.
Mara.
Yeah. Like, if she hasn't used
that yet. I love
that
name.
Yeah. Mara. That's amazing. Mara, we love you. We're just going to picture all of our podcasts from here on out with you sitting at the table, because we like to make people laugh. So we're going to picture you laughing on walks and stuff. Okay. Thank you so much for that review. I literally love our reviews because it proves that there's a listener out there.
There's one of you.
Thank you, Mara. She's one of our two downloads. All right. Do we have a cue?
Oh yeah. Okay. This is from Caitlin Moss.
Kate Moss. Are you kidding me? She was like
Kate Moss, the model
ever.
She listens. I have some problems with my self-esteem being a good mom and working at my dream job, but I feel that mom guilt, and the guilt is heavy. What do I do?
Oh man, I'm not a mom, but I literally just heard this. You know, I follow Lauren Bostic on Skinny Confidential, and she was like, man, I just never thought I would feel bad about like working, because she's obsessed with her work. She just did a post on this. And it really made me wonder, like, wow, am I going to, you know, in the future when I have kids, when I'm like 62, who knows, that's the way it's going. I'll still have them though. I'll still figure it out. And I feel great about it, everybody. No worries. I feel really good about where I'm at with that. with that said, yeah, she put a post out that was like, I just didn't think I would feel this way, because she loves what she does. But she's like, there's the just, you know, this insane amount of mom guilt, because she feels like she's missing those moments. And I was really sitting thinking, will I feel that way? And I'm sure that I will. Like right now, I was like, right now I'm like, no, I'll probably have someone really help me during the day and, you know, go to work. And I am going to do that. Like I literally will, because I know that that's such a huge part of me, but I'm sure that I will experience that too. And, you know, I was talking to, I actually had an interview with Gabby Reese, the pro volleyball player. Do you remember her?
What?
You're going to love this interview too. I know it's funny. Like I mentioned her to somebody, or I mentioned her to, Lauren, my assistant. She didn't know who she was. Yeah. And I was like, damn it. When you know you're getting older, you know? But I'm like, how do you not know? She's freaking amazing. Shout out to Lauren. I love you anyway. You know, I'm obsessed with you. It's fine. I'm going to make you watch every single Gabby Reese reel that there ever was. And then you're going to love her. Anyway, back to the question. She was talking about how, like, it's, you know, because she was talking about just work and embracing the suck, and that if you can't embrace the suck, you're probably not cut out to be like an entrepreneur or an athlete or a human. Like it really just came down to like, we categorize it like that's bad over there. Feeling bad is bad. And she's like, if you want to have a good life, you need to know it's all a part of it. Every single fabric of life is like, it's all woven together. And the thing is people with lives that they don't like their life. They essentially say, they label it. That is bad. Being scared is bad. Feeling uncomfortable is bad. Having someone say something to me that's uncomfortable is bad. Having someone judge me is bad. None of it's bad. It's all a part of it. So if we started to say, well, that's a part of it, and stops living in what we thought was bad, we live in those moments that we judge as bad. And that becomes your entire scope of life. And so I think that if you look at it as, oh, mom guilt is a part of it. And thank God you have that, because if you didn't, that might mean you hate your kids. I don't know. Like, yeah, it'd be like if you get married and you're like, awesome. Oh, what does it say that I don't ever miss my husband and I like when they're gone? I mean, it might say you're not meant for each other anymore. So I think that maybe having the mom guilt, if you reframe it like, wow, I love these little nuggets so much that I just miss the crap out of them, even though they're annoying, you know, when I'm gone. And I think embracing that is like, oh, that really shows that I love them and that's all a part of it. And I'm going to re-listen to this when this happens, because I find it really funny. Like, I'm giving mom advice, like, but now I have a pet that I hate leaving and I can't tell you even that's not the same. So we're not going to go there.
But I'm not a mom either, obviously, but I would like to be someday. And I will say, I feel like I just have this view in my mind, like, oh, there must be like a standard rule book on how you should be as a mom, but there's not. And children are raised in a million different ways, and they all become these amazing people from various circumstances. Like, my dad worked all the time and I hardly saw him, but I still felt very like supported and loved by him.
Yeah.
Even though he wasn't there, like, you can still support and love your kids in a million different ways.
You know, if we really think of like, cause I'm really into just the idea that we kind of choose our parents, you know, and who knows if that's true or not. I like the idea because it makes me feel better about a lot of things in life. Not that my parents were bad. It's just, they're amazing. And I'm so grateful for the childhood that I had. It shaped me. I wouldn't be doing what I'm doing without it. But I think that can really help you, like, okay, well, this is the woman that I am. This is the person, the parents that we are. And if you really are like doing your best and making sure you are fulfilled and happy, I want to talk about that in one second, because I can speak from the perspective of being a daughter. I think that, you know, let's just say your child is choosing to come through you because maybe they are meant to be partially raised by, you know, this other person or the grandparents, or maybe that's really truly what they called in, is they need a lot more people, or maybe for the life they're about to live and the journey they're about to go on, they need to be a lot more independent, you know? So it's really like, you don't know if that's a really important part of the, you know, the journey that they're on, is to be more independent and not have to have you all of the time. So it's like really interesting when you look at it that way. Like, you know, maybe they're meant to be raised more of tribal, like we used to be, or whatever that looks like.
Yes.
And like, get really, not that children aren't well-rounded if they're not, but it is, you become more well-rounded faster if you have grown up around a lot of different people, right? And you get a lot of different insights and perspectives and experiences with those people. So I do think that that is powerful too, if we can view it that way. And I will say, and I talk about this at Bliss Project a lot, is the biggest gift that my mother could give me now and could have given me, and I think all mothers to all, you know, daughters or children, mm-hmm. is to be fulfilled and happy and model that and see what that looks like. And I don't believe that that is just being a nurturer, because we're many things, right? Like, that's, we have so many things we have to do. And so I know for you, Evans, like, there's nothing worse. And for me, there's nothing worse than when your mom is unhappy and you can't help her. It's like, you feel like the most helpless child in the whole world. And it's the realization that, like, you can't make her happy either. And that is a horrible place to live. So I do think if you can remember to model what fulfillment and happiness looks like I kind of get jealous of the people whose parents are like, they're doing all the things and going all the places. And they're like, you know what, honey, I love you, but I got to go because, you know, I've got whatever class over here and I'll tell you all about it and whatever that looks like. So I want, you know, I do want to be like that so that I have really great value to add, even if I'm like forcing myself to go and do things.
I think everything you just said was so beautiful. I loved everything about it.
Oh man. Thank you, Evans. I love talking to you. I think that you bring out my best, which is why I literally love doing this podcast with you.
Well, I think it's so neat to think about your children as like they're placed exactly where they're supposed to be and how the universe. I just think that's such a neat thought. Neat.
That's so neat. That's neato. We need to bring neato back because I used to use it all the time. So I think instead of cool, like, because that feels out too. So why not make it really out? Like, I think I want to start being known as saying neato. Kind of like how, what is it on Seinfeld when George Costanza was trying to get a nickname? He was trying to make everybody, he wanted a cool nickname. He was trying to get everyone to call him T-Bone. And so he kept saying like, yeah, like he kept on using it. Like he was using it like he was calling himself T-Bone. And instead he got a different name. It was a horrible name. I can't remember what it was, but they were like,
yeah, I'm going to have to watch.
They called a coworker T-Bone instead. So in one meeting, they ended up calling his enemy T-Bone and him like hamburger patty or something ridiculous. It was really funny. So I do think I'm going to try to make Neato stick and potentially even a really cool nickname for myself.
Let's work on it.
Okay. You think of what you want for next time, because I like a nickname is so cool. It's so very 80s, but I think they're really cool. Yeah.
And
maybe
too.
we'll turn an Instagram handle into it. All right.
Do you want another one?
Yeah, we got time for a quickie.
Okay. This is from Michaela Slade. How do you maintain focus and avoid overwhelm when you've got multiple projects on the go?
Oh, I'm the worst person to ask for this. I like letting you know though that I'm with you. So there's my answer. I think that compartmentalization can be learned. As women, the way that we think, our brains have been compared in this way. So men, let's picture our computer screen. So men, put in a website, the site comes up, they read what they need, and then they click out of it and it goes away. What we do is we're like, oh, let's look at what's going on this blog. Oh, what's for sale? Oh my God, let me read about the news. And every single screen is open, and that's how our minds typically work. And we're meant to work that way so that we can see if our kids are touching a hot stove while we're cleaning the house, while we're cooking, while we are also like, I don't know, having a conversation, coaching our sister-in-law. So it's how it's meant to be so that we pick up on those details. So like our kids aren't wandering off and feeding wolves, you know? So you have to remember it's important, but you can compartmentalize, like when you get into work mode, you can compartmentalize and go, what project is most important and is going to move the needle, and do that the night before. So what I've been doing is Lauren and I, my assistant, have been putting the most important things for the next day on sticky notes. And we try not to do too much else before those sticky notes get done. So I think it's knowing, like, just pick one. And if you can't figure it out, pick one and focus and be like, okay, I'm not going to look at the other things. I'm going to let those fires burn. I think a really good entrepreneur starts to learn that fires will be burning at all times. But pick the ones that like, you know, this one's most important because if it burns too long, I'm going to lose this person. I need to have this conversation, or, you know, we're not going to make money if I don't do this one over here. So even though this website, you know, refresh feels important, it's not, because the website's still making money. You know, I don't need a new logo. I don't need to be posting on social right now if you have money-making things that are a lot more important that need to come first. So everything feels urgent, but it's not. So you have to decide what to compartmentalize. And it does get better, but it takes some serious learning. And sometimes I talk to myself out loud. Like, I'm just like, that's not the most important right now. This is. So I'm like, out of sight, out of mind. You have this on a note. I'm putting this right here because you know that this gets done in the next couple of days. It's still over here. I can tell. I know it's there. So I'm not going to forget about it. But here is where your focus goes. So I kind of like talk to myself and coach myself as if an external person is coaching me, so that I like, it really helps actually. It totally helps. So
I love that. And I was on a Zoom with Lauren and saw y'all's sticky post-it system. And it's so good. It's such a good visual.
It's working for us right now. So we said, we're going to do this until it stops working. But for now it's working really well. So we still have it on the computer. We have it in Asana, but we need an actual physical thing to be like, this is today's, you know, and it's always in my view, and it's really helpful. So Evans, any last wisdom that you want to drop on us?
Don't be afraid to ask for help.
Oh God, that's so good. You guys heard it here first. You've never heard it, but Actually, it's probably one of the biggest things that we need tattooed on our arms for sure. Because it's like, it's the thing. I'm not doing anything in life without asking. I'm asking questions about 10, 20, 30, 40 times a day. And I just wouldn't move forward. I would, but it'd be so slow that I would never, ever, ever have a business. So if you guys aren't asking for help, it means that you're stuck because of your own self. So there you go. I'm, again, talking to myself. So I'm taking, you know what? I just released a gerbil.
One little gerbil is free now.
It just scattered away. It scattered into the woods. And it's like, thank God, I'm going to my family. Release it. Okay. All right, you guys. Okay. Until next time, be questionably awesome. Evans, thank you. I adore you. I love this time together. Until next time.
Me too.
Peace be with you. Goodbye.
Also with you.
Thank you guys so much for spending this time with me on the Earn Your Happy podcast. I am so glad that you stopped by. If you could take 1 second to share this episode with someone you think would love it, that would be absolutely amazing and we would be forever grateful. Also, please leave us a review if you feel so moved by going to iTunes and leaving us an honest thought, an honest comment. Tell us what you think. Tell us what you want to hear more of. It would really help us out on our journey to helping thousands and thousands of people. Until then, don't forget to earn your happy. Thanks again, guys. Bye-bye.